Father, we come before you this evening with thankful hearts because of who you are and the mighty things and everlasting. You are exactly the same, never changing. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you for being mindful of us when we didn't even care for you. So, Father, thank you for the spiritual blessings that you've given us in Christ Jesus, for they are greater than we can even imagine. We pray for our sick and hurting, those that are suffering, especially those that have cancer, especially baby Louie. We lift them up to you and we pray for their highest good and for your glory. We pray that your sovereign will might be done and you might bless and watch over those of our church family and those outside watching online. We pray that as we study tonight, you might be glorified, the church might be edified, and we all might be able to go home and say it is good to be in the house of the Lord, because I'm different than I was before I came. We thank you for your work of sanctification in us as believers in Christ. We thank you that you do not leave us where we were, but you're always working in our lives to take us to where you meant for us to be. Thank you for your word. It's a divine treasure. In it you reveal to us who you really are and who we really are and what a wonderful thing it is to know Christ. We ask you to bless both the teacher and the hearer tonight, that we might hear and teach with clarity, with understanding, and with the knowledge of the grace of God in our hearts and lives. We thank you again for so great a salvation and for these blessings that we have in Christ. We ask it all in his wonderful name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. In chapter 1, all the way up until chapter 2 and verse 4, all the way through chapter 1 and chapter 2 through verse 3, we have imperative commands and we have the Word of God. We have Peter telling the believers at that time what God would have them to do. And so we have all these commands, instructions, if you will, and commands that we go through in that part of the book of 1 Peter. And then we come to chapter 2, and we come to verse 4, and everything changes. I was thinking of an illustration as I was driving over here this evening, and I thought, well, it's kind of like this. Kay, being in her condition she is now with the injury, a lot of times I have a series of commands to follow. You need to do this. She always prefaces them, we need to do this, knowing that I will be the one to do this. But anyway, there are imperative commands to follow. But then I come home, and I love pumpkin cupcakes with white icing and nuts in them. And so that is a privilege, right? It's a privilege to be married to a woman that can make pumpkin cupcakes with white icing and nuts in them. Well, when we come through the first part of 1 Peter, we have imperative commands, and we have God instructing us. But then he flips the script four on through several of the verses. We're not any longer talking about imperative commands. We're not only talking about instructions, but now we have privilege. And he's telling about all the privilege that we have in Christ. And they are numerous, and probably beyond our finite minds to completely understand. They are so greatly magnificent to our well-being and our lives and our future hope that we have in Christ. And so that's what we find when we look at these scriptures that we're going to be looking at tonight. And I want to follow my notes if I can tonight. So many times I get ahead of myself, and when I get ahead of myself, I'm not in a good place. And so I'm going to read through the scriptures first, and we're just going to look at verse 4 and the first part of verse 5. And he said, as you come to him, Christ, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. And that's as far as we're going to get tonight. Being built into a spiritual house. So, as we look at this, the first thing that he says is, as you come to him, as you come to Christ. Now then, there are many people that would look at that and say, oh yeah, I came to Christ. I had a part in my salvation. But there are so many scriptures in the Bible that we'll look at briefly in a moment that tell us that is not true at all. That we wouldn't have come to Christ unless we were compelled by the Holy Spirit, unless we were moved by God himself. And so the first thing that we look at is what a privilege it is to come to Christ. What a privilege it is to come to him. And so that's what I want us to think about. Now we're going to go to the Gospel of John, okay? The Gospel of John, the 6th chapter. And let me say this. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is filled with Christ calling out for people to come to him. For people to come to him. The Bible is an invitation. Come to me, ye that are heavy laden and weary, and you'll find rest for your souls. On and on the scripture goes on. And we're going to look at some of those. Here in the Gospel of John, the sixth chapter, beginning in the 35th verse. John chapter 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Now look down at verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never turn away or drive away. So we look and we see Jesus with open arms says, I am the bread of life. Anyone or he who comes to me will never go hungry, and who believes in me will never be thirsty. And then down in verse 37 he says, they come to me, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never turn away or drive away. So he says very clearly here that the reason we come to him is because the Father has sent us to him. All that come to me, he says, the Father has given me. So the Father gives us to Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God as an instrument to prick our hearts, to lead us to repentance, to lead us to Christ, to confess our sin, to turn away from our sin, to place our faith in the resurrected Christ as the only hope for our salvation. And so we have absolutely nothing to boast about but the grace of God himself that gives us to the Son by the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. So it's all a work of God. Now then, we look down in verse 44 of the same chapter. No one can come to me, he says, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. So here he says, it's actually the Father that draws us in the work of the Holy Spirit that we come to Christ. In fact, in Romans chapter 3, in the 10th verse, I believe it is, he says, there's none who seek him. There's none that does good. So when we say, I sought the Lord, we're actually saying, God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, drew me to the Lord. God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, gave me to Christ. God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, convicted me of my sins and led me to Christ. And so we look then at these verses of Scripture, and they explain very well what really happened when we were converted. Over in verse 65, the Scripture says this, over in verse 60, why I told you that no one can as enabled him or her, unless the Holy Spirit or the Father has enabled him or her. Something drastic happened in the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And that is God, that is man, in sinning against God, in choosing to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, bringing sin into the world, I believe lost his capacity to come to the Son unless he is given, sent, and drawn by the Father. Now that's Jack Russell theology. If you think different, I'm not going to like you any less. But we see that our salvation is based totally on the work of God, not the work of man. Now then, we look in chapter 7 of the Gospel of John and the 37th verse that we find over here. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive, who we did receive when we were regenerated and born again. It says, up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so here we see. So, to me, the invitation is open. Anytime we preach the gospel, as Nate did this morning, great sermon, by the way, anytime we preach the gospel, anytime we preach the word, it should be an invitation to anyone who hears the word of God, who is pricked in their heart by the Holy Spirit, who has a desire in their heart to believe in Christ and repent of their sin, has an invitation to come and place their faith in Christ, turning from their sins. We, as pastors, never know who it is that God has sent into that auditorium that day will be the day that God calls them out of darkness into light. So we give an invitation, as Christ gives an invitation, that they might respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might come to him, which is the greatest privilege on the face of the earth, to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. So the Bible says, come to him, as we look there in the book of 1 Peter, and we look at what he says here in the second chapter. As you come to him. Now, I want to get my notes again because I don't want to miss anything out that I should have said. Okay? Let me just read you this scripture. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, as I was studying about this, the actual word that is used here, the verb that is used in come, is not only the idea of coming, but it has the same idea in it of remaining, abiding in. Because the truth of the matter is, when someone is drawn by the Holy Spirit and receives Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, they will abide in Christ. They will continue in Christ. Not that they don't make mistakes, not that they're sinless. They should sin less as they're sanctified and as they grow in the Lord. But we come to Christ, meaning we not only come to Him, but we abide in Him. We remain in Him. Not because of anything we are, but because of God in us, in the Holy Spirit, and the work of Christ in us by the grace of God. And so I wanted to share that with you as well, that we draw near to Him. So now that He turns His attention to not only coming to Christ, but to Christ Himself. He says, the living stone. The living stone. Now, when we think of a stone, we don't think of anything living. We think of a object that is inert. We think of an object that has no life to it. We see a stone, we say, oh, there's a rock. Or we see a big stone, we say, well, there's a boulder. Or there is this, or there is this. But he says this is a living stone. Now then, that's very important. Because when he says he is a living stone, he launches us onto something that we need to understand. Now, in the days that he was speaking about this, what was he thinking of? What was he thinking of? You know, I love the way this Lutheran church looks up here, this big stone church. There's something about being built out of stone that looks massive, it looks big, it looks sound, it looks solid. When we think about Peter and what he's saying here, he's thinking about something that is built. He is a living stone. Something that would seem a living cornerstone, meaning that something that it is the fixture from which everything will be built on. Now, as he thinks about this, he's thinking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, with Christ being the cornerstone or the chief cornerstone and everything being built off of it. He is a living stone because in Romans chapter 6 verse 9 it says, death is no more the master of him. In 1 Corinthians 15:45 it says, the last Adam, being Christ, became a life-giving spirit. Not only is he alive, but he gives life. Peter has already talked about a living hope, a living word, and now he talks about Christ as a living stone, as we see the Word of God here, and he shares it with us as well. So, our spiritual privilege are all in that living stone. And the idea here is the stone is Christ, and the emphasis is on the quality or the preciousness of that stone. Because it is not only that it has life, but it can give life. And it is an eternal life. Now then, if you think about building, and building in those days, I know I myself, and what was Dubby's last name? Huh? Dunning. Thank you, brother. Me, myself and Dubby Dunning, because I wanted to go where Waldo Baptist Church first, Shawnee National Forest, to where he had it marked on where Waldo Baptist Church first started, back in a valley over there in Shawnee National Forest. And if you were to go back there, you would find there's part of a steel gate, or part of a steel fence, iron fence, that is still there. At least it was. And then you would look, and over probably where the church itself would have been, there is this great big cornerstone that sat there. And probably at that time, everything was built off of that foundation. Everything came off of that one stone as the building was erected of Waldo Baptist Church. Well, back in those days, they built the building out of stone. And so the first stone that would be placed would be the chief cornerstone. It would be the cornerstone. Now, that stone was more important than anything else in the whole building, because everything was built off of that stone. Every wall had to be built at the right angle off of that stone. The structure vertically had to measure up with that stone. Everything that building was built of came off of the angle and the preciseness of that cornerstone that was placed there. Back when Peter was talking about it, they would hew out stones, measure them, make sure they had the right angle on them, that they would place that cornerstone, and everything would have been built off of it. Now today we have plumb lines, and we have squares, and we have lasers, and we have different things to measure the way the walls of a building should be, and very precise what it was. In those days, they measured everything off of that one stone. That whole building would be built off of the angle and the preciseness of that one stone, which was the cornerstone. And that's what he's talking about here when we look at that, when we think about a building. We think about it had to be absolutely perfect, or the building itself would either fall or lean or not stand up to the rigors of life. And so we understand that that is the most important stone in the whole building, and everything that is built off of that one stone. And here Peter calls him the living stone, as we look at the word here and we see what is happening. Now, back in those days, the Jews were looking for a Messiah. And they wanted to build, if you will, a kingdom. A kingdom. What they did not understand and what they did not adhere to was that Jesus Christ was sent from the Father above to be the cornerstone of everything that they had hoped for. Okay? But they saw it. They looked at the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ himself. They saw him as someone that was weak. They saw him as someone that is poor. They saw him as someone that wasn't going to overthrow the Roman government. They saw him as someone who would die on a cross. They saw him as less. In other words, they did not see Christ as fitting for the cornerstone of what they imagined their kingdom would be. And so what did they do? Well, he tells us here in 1 Peter, rejected by men. Rejected by men. They looked and they measured Christ by their standards, by what they wanted, by what they expected, by what they believed they ought to have, and they said, he doesn't measure up, so give us Barabbas. And they crucified Christ, who was the chief cornerstone of everything that God intended to build. They rejected him. And today as well, in the world in which we live, most of the world today measures Christ by their measurements. By their measurements, he doesn't do for them what they want. Because what they want is not what God wants for their life. So he doesn't fit the measurements that most of the world wants today. So they reject him instead of coming to him and the Father sending them to him. So he is rejected by men. Now then, God the Father looked at the cornerstone that he had sent and chosen from before the foundation of the earth and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He said, this is the perfect cornerstone. And everything I'm going to build, I'm going to build it on him. I have chosen him before the foundation of the earth. He is perfect in every way. And everything that I build will be built on this cornerstone, Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son. So when we look at the scripture here, and we see what is going on, he was chosen, he was the elect, he was the perfect cornerstone through which the Father sent into the world, through which everything that the Father would build would be built upon this cornerstone, the living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in our lives as a Christian today, I can say that everything and every privilege that I have and every good thing that has happened to me in my life has been based upon that cornerstone, has been built upon that cornerstone, has stands upon that cornerstone. Everything good that has happened in my life has been built, stands today upon that cornerstone who God has chosen before the foundation of the earth, who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who the Father said, he is perfect, therefore I will raise him from the dead, showing everyone that he has fulfilled the reason that I sent him, and through him I will build my church through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you today, something that is unbelievable has happened in your life. And that's what he talks about next. That's what he talks about next. First of all, he says, as you come to him, who? Christ. What? The living stone. Well, what happened? Rejected by men, but chosen by God. Chosen by God before the foundation of the earth. God said, this is my perfect cornerstone. This is Christ. He is absolutely precious. He is absolutely perfect in every way. And everything I will build on Christ. I will build on this cornerstone. Precious to him. Precious to him. Now look at verse 5, the first part of it. You also, like living stones. Something unbelievable happened when you came to Christ. Not only did you come to a living stone, but you yourself became a living stone. Now let that sink in for a minute. Not only did you come to a living stone, but you yourself became a living stone. This is what he says here. chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Once I was far from God in a dying and dark and hostile world, and the Father, by His grace, drew me to the cornerstone, the living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He drew me to the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, something unimaginable happened. The life that was in that stone, the eternal life that was in that stone, became my life. Became my life. And now I have received that eternal life that was in the stone, Christ, in the living stone. I have become a living stone, and so have you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now you are part of what the Father is building here on earth, His church. You're a part of that. And you're being built upon that precious, absolutely perfect cornerstone, which is Christ Himself. It's the most amazing thing that I know of that could happen to any individual on the planet Earth. That God would bring you to His Son, the living stone, and draw you to Him, and give you the life that is in His Son, Jesus Christ, so that you might receive that kind of life, eternal life, that is in His Son, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, and now you're being built up as a part of His church. This is one thing I've learned. That's about all. One thing I've learned through the years. If we preach and we teach and we stand on the Word of God, if we need that this local church will ever have, will be met by the grace of God through the living stone who is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Any need we have ever had, sometimes even before we knew we had the need, God would send someone through those doors that would fit the mold that we needed to do what God had called us to do. I'm trying to think of the gentleman's last name. His wife's name was Lillian. His first name is Gene Dorrance. Gene Dorrance. He owned a construction company up in central Illinois. He owned his own construction company up in central Illinois. It just so happened that the timing of that was just previous to when we would start building the Family Life Center. So we hired a company out of Carbondale to build the Family Life Center building. And we were going to do the inside ourselves. We were going to do the inside ourselves. Now here I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, how in the world are we going to get this done? How in the world? Well, there is a man there that owned his own construction company that knows exactly how to get this done. And his name was Gene Dorrance. And he said, "Son, I'll tell you what we need to do and how we need to do it." He said, "This is no problem." And he said, "Have you ever heard of a water level?" I said, "No." He said, "All you do is," he said, "you take a long piece of plastic tubing," and he said, "you put water in it," and he said, "you got two ends." And he said, "When the water level, when you put it over here, and you get the water level, and you put it over here and you get the water at the same level, those walls will be equal. Those walls will be equal. He said, that's a water level. And so here we went through there, marking on the floor where the walls would be and where we would place those metal studs and where everything would be laid out. And we laid out the whole building. Then we started putting up the walls. And there we had the water level. And Gene was overseeing everything that we did and to make sure that it was done right. And so I never knew a man named Gene Darnes till he showed up at our door, come through the church. But God said, before we even know we needed it, He sent a man named Gene Darnes here that knew how to do what needed to be done. I remember when the church first bought an organ. But we didn't have an organ player. And here came Juanita Smith and her husband to our church. And what was she? An organist, of course. And it's been that way ever since I've been here. Every need that we've had, God has supplied. And I believe He always will. As long as you build everything off the cornerstone that is precious to Him. But everything has to be built off the chief cornerstone that is precious to Him, or it will not work. It has to line up with the cornerstone. God is still building His church today. I really believe that's when Christ is coming. I don't know when that is. I don't know what that number is, but I know He does. Maybe after I'm gone from this earth, maybe before, I don't know. I'm not worried about it. That's His job, not mine. But I do know this. I know that everything, absolutely everything that God does is built off the cornerstone. Everything, absolutely, is built off the cornerstone that is precious to Him, that has been rejected by men. So as we go on as a church, and me and Brother Nate and Brother David that's kind of under the weather now, and Aaron and Kenny and Caleb, as we go on as a church together, we just got to line everything up with a cornerstone. We line everything up with a cornerstone, God will just keep building. God will just keep working. Because that's what God does. It might seem simplistic to a lot of people, but that's how God builds His church. And that's how God will build our church as we go on in the future. Everything has to line up with the cornerstone, because it's only in the cornerstone that there's life. And when we come to the cornerstone, the life that's in the cornerstone becomes our life. And it's called